I'm going to talk to you guys about CR tonight because that's my Connect group. That's my ministry. God has placed me and my husband there for a time. And I'm going to just share what we do on a Friday night when we do a lesson. So in CR, we have different issues we deal with. CR is not only about dealing with drugs and alcohol. We also deal with what led us to do the drugs and the alcohol or pornography or whatever. Where did it all start? We have to deal with where it started before we can deal sometimes with the drugs and the alcohol. Or we get off the drugs and alcohol, but we have to deal. Once we get off the drugs and alcohol, we got to deal with the root cause of everything. CR gets to the root of the problem. Example, maybe a person was physically, mentally, emotionally, sexually abused, causing them to be an addict to drugs and alcohol. Or maybe it's not drugs and alcohol, but they have control issues or anger, or they isolate or self-harm. There are stages of recovery, and I'm going to talk about one today, one of our lessons. And of course, if you look at your handout, it's on confess. Every other Friday night, we have a lesson or a testimony. This Friday coming up, we have a lesson. And then next Friday, we will have testimony. I want to share a lesson with y'all so that you know what a CR lesson looks like. Okay. Confession. We have principles. We have 8 principles and 12 steps. And the principle and the step I'm going to talk about, principle 4 and step 5. Principle 4 says, openly examine and confess my hurts, hang-ups, and habits to myself, to God, and to someone I trust. And verse goes with that. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Matthew 5:8. Step 5. We admit it to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other so that you may be healed. James 5:16. The most important thing in that verse is so that you may be healed. One of the key parts of this verse, well, is so that you may be healed. God wants to heal us. The devil wants us to stay unhealed. He tells you, don't tell others about that. They would not understand you. They would judge you, make fun of you, or tell the whole world about what you did. Sometimes we ask God for forgiveness. I've asked God for forgiveness for certain things in my life. But God said, I've forgiven you. Now it's time for you to confess. Oh, but God, I don't want to confess. I don't want others to know this sin in my life. Why can't we just forgive and I be healed and we go on? But God's like, I want to heal you through confession. So that you may be healed. And through confession, God wants to renew us. Okay. Introduction. The following illustration is part of a message I heard at Willow Creek Church, and it is undoubtedly the best illustration that I have found to represent this principle, principle 4. Does the name Jessica McClure trip any memory bells in your mind? She was the 18-month-old girl from Midland, Texas, who fell into the deep abandoned well pipe several years ago. That was a long time ago. All right. About 400 people took part in her 58-hour rescue attempt, which was spurred on by her cries of anguish that could be clearly heard at ground level through the pipe. Now, I find it fascinating that at one point a critical decision was made. The rescuers decided that the rescue would have 2 phases. One phase was to simply get somebody down there next to her as soon as possible. Phase two was actual extracting her from the well. Phase one was driven by the knowledge that people tend to do and think strange things when they are trapped alone in a dark, scary place for long periods of time. They get disoriented and their fears get blown out of proportion. Their minds play tricks on them. Sometimes they start doing self-destructive things. Sometimes they just give up. So the rescue experts decided that they needed to get a person down there to be with her as soon as possible. Then they would turn their attention on how they were going to get her out of the well. The plan worked, and eventually Jessica was rescued. Amen. Now, how does the rescue of Jessica McClure relate to step five? When people like us get serious about recovery, about spiritual growth, when we go on the 12-step spiritual adventure, when we take that first step, we admit that we have some problems that make our lives unmanageable. When we turn to God and say, God, I need help with these problems, then we might feel as though we are free falling. In a sense, we are. We are out of control in a way. We can no longer live the way we are so used to living. The old ways just don't work anymore. So during the last couple of months, if you've worked step four honestly and thoroughly, you might be feeling as if you're trapped at the bottom of a deep, dark well. If you stay there long enough, you can become disoriented and wonder why you took this recovery journey to begin with. You might feel like you want to bail out at this point. You might start making statements like, you know what? That I am a royal messed up woman or man. The truth about me is that I'm royally messed up woman. No one's collection of sins and character defects. Are as bad as mine. If anyone ever found out the truth about me, they would never have anything to do with me for the rest of my life. And that's a lie. Satan wants you to believe that. He wants you to believe that because he doesn't want you to be free. He don't want you to be free. Some of you get to the point that you say, why don't I just bail out of this program? Why don't I just go back to projecting an image of adequacy to everybody and not deal with all this unsettling truth about myself? Because, you know, we're good hiders sometimes. We can hide a lot. We can pretend to be something that we're not. It's at the critical point in the process that we need to get another human being to come alongside of us in that well as soon as possible. You need to get someone next to you before you give up and get back into denial. In a way, the fifth step says that you can only grow so far alone. Then you reach the point that continued growth and healing is going to require assistance from someone else. We are right at that critical juncture tonight. We are at that point where we are being asked to come clean by telling another human being the truth about who we really are. But how? The first step is to confess, and that is going to be on your handout. Confess your shortcomings, resentments, and sins. This is tonight's acrostic, so confess is. Okay. The C in confess is confess. Your shortcomings, resentments, and sins. God wants us to come clean. He already knows all of our resentment, shortcomings, and sins. Confession is just us telling him we know them too. For the person who confesses, shame is over. Realities have begun. Proverbs 28:13 tells us, whoever conceals their sins does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Confession is necessary for fellowship. Our sins have built a barrier between us and God. Our sins do build, they bear, you know, they have that barrier. And God wants to bless us, and he wants us to grow in him. And sometimes we get to a point to where we're just like, why am I not growing, God? And that's when, you know, why am I just, I'm just stuck. I'm stuck here. And God's like, because I need to get that sin out of your life. I need you to confess to someone that the things, the hurts that you've been through. I want to grow you, but I have to get some of this junk out. I need to get to the roots of what's going on in you, because you're still angry. You're still bitter. You're still envious. You're still. You're stopped. You're stuck because there's things that need to come out. The O in confession stands for obey God's direction. Obey. When we tell and confess our sins, weakness, we are no longer giving the devil power over our life to keep us in our misery, in our muck. I'm going to turn to Galatians 6, 1 through 2. Galatians 6, 1 and 2 says, dear brothers and sister, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back into the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. We are called as brothers and sisters in Christ to help each other, to help restore each other. CR helps to restore others, to restore people to a healthy relationship with Christ. The thing that I love about Celebrate Recovery is that we use the Word of God, that it's not just another AA program that we just work our steps, and we do, we work our steps, but those steps have verses. Those steps have truth behind them, the Word of God. And that's what I love about Celebrate Recovery, that the Word of God is in Celebrate Recovery. Not only do we work our steps and everything, we tell others, get involved in a church. Get involved, and I like to tell people, get involved in Grace Point Church. Grace Point Church is a great church to go to. Get involved in our Grace Point Church. Not only get involved, get on a dream team. Get into a dream team, because when someone that is in recovery that has a victory over drugs and alcohol, when they get on a dream team, when they get involved in a ministry, they're becoming a servant, and they're giving back to society or giving back to people. And that by them being in recovery, by them being on the dream team, there's no room for them to think about, oh, I could go do drugs. Oh, I could do alcohol. Oh, I could be mad. I could be angry. Oh, I could go hook up with that ex-girlfriend or that ex-boyfriend. Their minds are on something else. They're being taught the Word of God. They're being accountable. And sometimes when you're not accountable, it's so easy to fall back into sin. And that's another thing too, is when you don't confess your sins and you don't heal from your sins, the devil keeps you bound so that eventually if that sin comes back up, it's so much easier just to get back into it. Nobody knows. Nobody cares. But God's like, no, you need to tell others. You need to be accountable. Accountable. Accountability. Oh, sorry. The O in confess stands for obeying God's direction. Confession means that we agree with God regarding our sins. Confession restores our fellowship with God, with people. Principle 4 sums up how to obey God's direction in confessing our hearts, hangups, and habits. First, we confessed, admitted our hurts, hangups, and habits to God. That's confession. We're asking God for forgiveness. It is written, "As surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will acknowledge God." So then each of us will give an account of ourselves to God, Romans 14:11-12. Then we do what we are instructed to do in James 5:16, and share them with someone we trust. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. That is no lie. Amen. Praise God. The next letter is N. No more guilt. No more guilt. The devil keeps you down with guilt and shame, but no more. No, let's don't be that way. Just don't allow the devil to keep us in that guilt and in that shame. Face the truth. Once we face the truth, God can start to heal and restore. The principle can no more guilt. This principle can restore our confidence, our relationships, and allow us to move on from our rearview mirror. Because, you know, sometimes we like to look in the rearview mirror. Oh, I remember this. Oh, I regret I didn't finish college. Oh, I regret that I should have done this or I should have done that. Oh, I regret. We're looking in the mirror. That's regret. That's guilt. We're, you know, and, you know, there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Way of living that kept us, okay, sorry. Let me read this again. This principle can restore our confidence, our relationship, and allow us to move on from our rearview mirror. Way of living that kept us looking back and second-guessing ourselves and others. In Romans 8:1, it says, "We are assured that there is no condemnation now for those who live in union with Christ Jesus. The verdict is in, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus." And that's Romans 3:23-24. The next letter, so that's the con in confession. The con is over. We have followed God's directions on how to confess our hearts, habits, and hangups. The next letter is F. We face the truth. Once we face the truth, we can start to heal and restore. After we fess up, we all have 4 positive changes in our lives. The first is that we will be able to face the truth. It has been said that man occasionally stumbles over the truth, but most of the time he will pick himself up and continue on. Recovery doesn't work this way. It doesn't work like that. Recovery requires honesty. If we want to stay recovered, if we want to stay healed, we have to be honest. We have to be honest with ourselves and with others. Accountability. After we complete the principle, we can allow the light of God's truth to heal our hurts, habits, and hangups. We stopped denying our true feelings. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of our salvation, the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." Psalms 51, 10 through 12. The next letter is E. We ease the pain. Ease. Not confessing to someone causes misery. Have you ever met someone just so misery? Every time you ask them, how are you doing? Oh, the world is going to hell in a handbasket. And I did this on the way here. I had road rage and this person pulled out. It's always negative. Everything's negative because they're so miserable. They're in themselves and they just don't, there's no, because they need to confess. They need to confess. There's something in their life that they need to confess. There's something, like I said, when someone's miserable, when someone's not happy, there's something, there's a root of something in them that needs, there's anger, there's misery, there's pain. You know, something happened in their childhood and they can't deal with it because it hurts too much. Sometimes when we hurt, like, what is it? I think it's when someone gets a burn or something, you know, on their body, you know, they have to go in there and they have to clean that burn and it hurts. But in able for someone to be healed, it's going to hurt. You know, when you get a sore or something and there's rocks in it, you fell down, skint your knee, and it's hurting and it stopped hurting, but there's still rocks and debris in there. And you're like, oh, this is going to hurt. I'm going to have to clean it out with peroxide, you know, maybe put some alcohol on it or something. You know, it's going to hurt, but in able for it to heal properly without infection, you got to clean it out. Got to clean it out. And that's how it is sometimes with just being miserable. It's like there's something that we need to deal with to ease the pain, to get it out. Not confessing to someone causes misery, unhappiness, sadness, feelings of unworthy of anything good and holy. You know, sometimes miserable people that haven't healed, they feel unworthy. They feel unworthy. They sit and they're like, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to be called a friend. I'm not worthy to have this family. I'm unworthy. And by them keeping, they keep saying that, I'm unworthy. I'm so miserable. I'm so unhappy. I'm so this. I'm so that. And God's like, but you are worthy. Christ died on a cross for us. To forgive us of our sins. And he, even though we're not worthy, he makes us worthy. He has called us for greater things. And when we're stuck in our misery and stuck in our unhappiness, God can't do nothing with you. God can't do nothing with me. There's times that I can remember when I lived down south in Koontz. I don't know if y'all never heard of Koontz. I had my own trailer house, and my mom and dad had their own trailer house. And I'd walk across the yard to go see my mother. And we'd be talking about something, and one day she just asked me, she says, Patricia, why are you so angry? And I was like, I'm not angry. And she's like, yes, you are. And I'm like, I don't know. And I didn't know why I was angry. Probably because I wasn't living the life that I should have been living for Christ. He had so much more for me. He wanted to use me so much more, but I was stuck. I wasn't reading my word. I wasn't praying. I would go to church because my mom and dad were the pastors. So I'm a pastor's kid. I had to go. I'm over 30 years old, but I had to go to church because that was the right thing to do. I was raised, you go to church. I don't care how old you are. You living on your mom and dad's property, you go to church. And I would go to church, but I wasn't living right. And they knew I wasn't living right. But God straightened me out. I will say that. The next letter, okay, ease the pain. Have you ever noticed that a person who speaks the truth is always at ease? I know my pastor, Pastor Jack, he speaks the truth. I don't see him stressed out. I see him at ease. I see him walk around. He's always happy. He's always making friends and inviting people to church. And, you know, he's got his flaws. I got my flaws. We all got our flaws. Frank got some flaws, too. I get to see those. No, I'm joking. But when we speak the truth, when there is no lies in our life, when we are not living lies, we are at ease. We're easy. We're not miserable. We're not miserable. But when we have those lies and unconfessed sins are, you know, in our life, we are miserable. We're not at ease because we're always afraid someone's going to find out. Someone's going to find out. And God's like, I hope somebody finds out, because if you someone finds out what's going on, then you'll be able to know that there are other people that are going through the same thing that you're going through. The things that you that the devil lies to you and tells you, oh, nobody knows that. Nobody's ever gone through that. Nobody acts like that. No. No, those are lies from the devil. There is nothing new under the sun. The Word of God says that. There is nothing new under the sun. And the devil wants you to think that your sin is new. Oh, no, it's not. Me and Frank got married, there were things that he would do, and I'd be like, oh, I do the same thing. I was always embarrassed. I didn't want to do that in front of you because I was afraid you're going to look at me crazy. And he's like, nah, I do that too. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I'm not the only one. So that's it. That is it, is confessing to someone that you trust, that loves you. And there is a lot of people in Grace Point Church that love you. It don't matter if we know your name or don't know your name. It don't matter where you live. It doesn't matter. We love you. We love you because Christ loves us. Christ has called us to love. And if you come to me and you're like, Patricia, I know I don't know you, but I have some things to confess. I'll sit down and we can talk. We will pray. I will pray with you. If you're a man and you have something you want to confess, you can come to Frank. Frank will sit down. He will listen to you and he will pray for you. Because that is the end result, prayer. Prayer is what's going to happen. We're going to pray for you, and we're not going to tell everybody, oh, my gosh, did you hear? Oh, you didn't hear? Well, I got the deets. Let me tell you what's going on. Did you know that such and such and such and such did this and did this? They were only 20 years old. They may be 50 now, but they did it when they were 20. We don't, that's something that's nobody's business. That's 30 years ago, and God has forgiven, but now it's time to heal. Have you ever noticed a person who speaks the truth is at ease? The next positive change that confession brings is to ease the pain. It's time to stop hurting. We are only as sick as our secrets. When we share our deepest secrets, we begin to divide the pain and shame. A healthy self-worth develops that is no longer based on the world's standards, but on the truth of Jesus Christ. Pain is inevitable. It's going to happen. Pain is going to happen for all of us. But misery is an option. Psalms 32, 3 through 5 says, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you will forgive me of my guilt, of my sin. The next letter is S, which is stop the blame. Stop the blame. Stop blaming yourself. Stop not forgiving yourself. Stop blaming others and start forgiving them. In Matthew 5, 6, 14 through 15. It says, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your heavenly Father will not forgive your sins. So it's in the word, we are to forgive. We are, if we want forgiveness from God, we are to forgive. We are to forgive others. Sometimes that's hard. You know, that person cuts you off. Ooh, sometimes I'm embarrassed and I've calmed down in my road rage. And I won't lie. Sometimes I get mad. I get tarked off. I guess is what you can say. My mother would say tarked off. But I'm like, God, I don't even know that person. That person could be in a rush to get to the hospital to say goodbye to their mother, their father, their son. That person could be trying to get to work because if they're late one more time, they won't be able to, they'll get fired and won't be able to support their children anymore. God, help me. And I pray, God, help me not to be so aggressive. Help me to think of others and to forgive others. And sometimes it's hard to forgive others for things, you know, and someone crosses your husband or your wife and you're like, ooh, I don't like that person anymore. They hurt my husband's feelings or they hurt my husband or they made my husband mad and I don't forgive them. I'm not going to forgive them. No, you can't be that way. You have to forgive. If you want forgiveness, you got to forgive. Stop the blame. The first S in confess reminds us that we can now stop the blame. It has been said that people who can smile when something goes wrong probably just thought of something they can blame it on. But the truth is, we cannot find peace and serenity if we continue to blame ourselves or others. Our secrets have isolated us from each other long enough. They have prevented intimacy in all of our important relationships. Jesus tells us in Matthew 7:3, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a big old plank in your eye? You don't say big old plank. That's Texan. In your eye. You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck in your brother's eyes. Sometimes, you know, you got to stop and say, okay, What is my part in this issue? What is it that I've done in this to be the blame? Sometimes we're the blame for certain things, and we just like, oh, well, let me take that speck out of your eye. Let me take it. And God's like, but you got this big old plank in your eye. You got this big old log in your eye. You know, you're not perfect. You are to blame for things too, but God forgives. God is a forgiving God. The next S is start accepting God's forgiveness. We start healing and learning from our sins. We learn how to be humble and show grace and mercy to others because God showed us grace and mercy. Reconciliation can begin. Finally, the last S shows us that it is time to start accepting God's forgiveness. Once we accept God's forgiveness, we are able to look others in the eye. Because sometimes our sins are so heavy. Sometimes that thing that we need to confess is so heavy that we can't look others in the eye. They might know. They might could be able to look in my eyes and see that sin, see that unconfessed sin. We see ourselves and our actions in a new light. We are ready to find the humility to exchange our shortcomings. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. And that is 2 Corinthians 5:17-19. If you ask me to sum up this lesson in one sentence on confession, this is what it would be. In confession, we open our lives to the healing, reconciling, restoring, uplifting grace of Jesus Christ, who loves us in spite of ourselves. 1 John 1:9 reminds us that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from unrighteousness. Maybe, which you probably came out tonight, not expecting a teaching on confession or on confess. But God is calling all of us to heal. He wants to restore you, to use you for his kingdom. I know sometimes it's hard because, like, in this teaching, I just wanted to show y'all a little bit of Celebrate Recovery and to let y'all know this is what God's done for me. God has restored me. He has healed me. There are things in my life that I didn't want to confess. Not long ago, over a year ago, I was a marijuana user. I smoked it. I ate it if I could eat it. I did whatever I could. I did more marijuana than Frank ever did, I think, in his life. I smoked to get up. I smoked to go to bed. I smoked when I was working, doing my job. Whenever I got a chance, I smoked. On Wednesday nights, hurry up, let's go home. I got to smoke before going to bed. I was addicted. It was an addiction. It was my God. I had God. And God, I sat on this front row in our church. And God would speak to me through sermons and through preachings and teachings. And I'm like, okay, God, you know, you put this on earth and it's legal in so many states. And, you know, I would try to justify my sin. And on April the 19th, 2024, I went to a women's conference in Weatherford, the Church of God, Weatherford. And I've told this testimony before, but some of you guys don't know it. I told Frank, I said, when I come back home this weekend, I will be changed. I will be free from marijuana. I will no longer smoke. I will no longer anything. I want no more marijuana, nothing in my life. So I went and I said, okay, God, this is how I'm going to do it. I'm going to go up to the altar and you are going to deliver me and set me free. And I'm going to come back to church and I'm going to be happy. And I'm just going to, nobody's got to know that you set me free. I'm just going to be changed and everything's going to be A-okay. Well, God had other plans. I was in that service and I said, I don't even know what the lady preached on. All I knew is I had to be at that altar. I don't even know if she said, y'all can come to the altar. I ran to the altar. I can even take you to the place that I was standing in that sanctuary where God delivered me. So I stood there and I said, okay, God, deliver me, deliver me, deliver me. God, set me free, get me free. And God was like, okay, you know, I'm sitting here going, God, I don't feel nothing. You know, people would come by and they would lay their hands on me and they would pray for me. And I'm like, God, I'm not leaving this altar till you deliver me. If I got to stay here tonight, so at the time, my pastor's wife, Sister Jody, came up to me and she's like, what is it that you need, Patricia? And I said, oh, I need deliverance from something. I wasn't going to tell her what it was. She didn't need to know. No, I'm not going to tell her that. So the women from our church gathered around me and she told the women, Patricia's going to raise her hand and she's going to say what she needs deliverance from when we start praying for her. And in the back of my mind, I was like, but God, I don't want her to know. I did not want Sister Jody to know. There were people that knew, but I didn't want her to know, because that meant to me, I was going to have to deal with some things when I got home. I didn't want to deal with those things. I just wanted to be delivered and set free. But God said, nope, this is how we're going to do it. I lifted my hands and I said, God, deliver me from marijuana, from smoking marijuana. And instantly, the Holy Spirit came down and delivered me. I'm talking no more cravings. I know it was amazing. It was like there was a new breath in my lungs, a new air in my lungs. My worship was so much purer, and I was on cloud nine because God delivered me. I had to confess that, because God was like, I need to heal you and restore you to make you who I want you to be. You have a message. What today? What's today? On August the 29th, 2025, that I want you to preach. I want you to teach. And you can't do that if you're still stuck in this sin, if you can't confess your sins. And when I did that, the whole world changed. It was, oh my gosh, me and my husband went through a lot of things. But we stayed at Grace Point Church because everybody loved us. Everybody told us, we love you, we care for you, you know. And we know God's going to restore you. And God has restored us. That next Friday, I went to celebrate recovery just to hear somebody give their testimony. And that night was what we call chip night. And that's when we go up and we start our recovery. We get a blue chip and say, I'm starting my recovery. And mine was from weed or marijuana. I took my first chip and I never looked back. And I told God, and God told me, I am going to use you in Celebrate Recovery in 2025. I didn't know how that looks, but I know how it looks now. I thought I was going to be a leader somehow in an open share group or whatever, but God has other plans. And I'm so grateful for that. And I'm so, so blessed to see what God has done in my life. And it's all because I confessed. I said, God, deliver me from marijuana. I don't care who hears it. God, deliver me from this anger. I can never figure out, God, I'm serving you. Why can't you answer my prayers? Why are my prayers not answered? Why do I still have an unhealthy relationship with this sister? Why can't I get over being mad at her or angry with her? Why is my growth stumped? And God's like, because you need to get this sin out of your life. You need to confess. Confess to someone you love, you trust. Heal from this. And God has healed me. and God can heal you. If there is anything in your life, you find somebody. Man, find a man. Woman, find a woman. And confess to that person that you trust and that you love. And you also have a place to come on Friday nights at 6 o'clock for dinner and 7 o'clock for the big service. Celebrate Recovery is here. And we have open share groups, men with men, women with women, and you get a certain amount of time to tell people what you've been going through, what you need healing from, what you need prayer from. And I believe that there are people to pray. There's always people to pray for you at Grace Point Church that love you, because we love you. I love this church because there's such a love for everyone. I love my pastors because they love me. They trust me. They see change in me. They see restoration in me, not only in me, but in my husband. They see that God wants to do something in my life, that wants to take me somewhere different, to take me somewhere higher and different, to be a witness to others, to teach women, to teach people, to love people. And they see that, and I am so grateful. So I'm going to go ahead and pray. Lord, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for the time that you have us here for this Wednesday night, Lord. Lord, I pray that the words that came out of my mouth were not from me, but were from you. I pray that you have touched your brothers, and you've touched your daughters, and you've touched your sons, and you've spoken to them. You've spoken to the depths of their hearts, Lord, that you've touched them, that they know what they need to do to heal from their hurts. God, I pray that you would just be with each and every single person in this church, in this sanctuary right now, Lord Jesus, that you would touch them, that you would heal them, that you would give them the courage to be able to confess what needs to be confessed, and that they would find a person that they love, that they trust, that they can go to, and they can find healing. When they confess to that person will be able to pray for them and lift them up, Lord. I pray that you would protect each and every single person here, every family that is represented by them. I plead the blood of Jesus over them, that God, you would be with them. Lord, you know that there may be people that need jobs. There are people that need financial healing. They need, Lord, you see their needs, each and every single one. They may be sick. I pray for healing in their bodies, in their minds, in their souls, in their spirits, Lord. I pray you protect them to and from their destinations. God, give them favor that they would encourage others with your word and with love from you. I pray that you would be with everyone. In Jesus' name, amen.